Hello, friends. This is Kimberly. I'm back again a month later with a new episode. I promise I'm going to try to get more consistent. Times have been tough with quarantine and working, but now that I have summer, no more excuses, okay? I'm a little ADHD and I do not keep well to any kind of structure or routine, and I'm really working on that. So I'm gonna try to start recording more. I just want to have good content to talk about, and I don't really feel like, a lot of times I have very good content, and it would just be me trying to come up with something for the sake of making an episode. So, I because okay, here the truth is I try to make episodes or recordings based off of like my current state and like what I'm feeling because in that moment is whenever I feel like I have the most like insight into that emotion and into that feeling, and it's easier for me to be honest and truthful about it. And so I am right now, and maybe a lot of people are feeling like this, it's just like a utterly lonely, like just this overwhelming like loneliness. And it sucks. For real, it sucks. So that's kind of the topic I want to talk about because there's been a lot of times in my life where I felt lonely, and I think we often mistake feeling lonely for also being alone. And in fact, they're not the same at all. I actually wrote, listen, I'm getting better. I made notes for today's podcast, so maybe it'll make it worse, maybe it'll make it better. I really don't know. I'm trying to improve. Let me know what y'all think, if it was better or worse. Anyhow, so loneliness. God, this is something I've really struggled with. Like just feeling like I don't even know how to describe it. I would say it's sort of just like a cloud of darkness, and it just kind of follows you around, rains on you, and I feel like loneliness is a best friend of depression and a motivator of depression, if you will. And so being lonely can really trigger you to drudge up all of these other things, and there's a lot of times that you've probably noticed that I talk about like being triggered and like feeling a certain way based off of another feeling, and that's because that's what happens to me. Like when I start feeling something, like and I identify it, like right now I'm feeling really lonely. I'm instantly triggered into like a lot of different problem areas. And I don't know if it's like a way that my brain tries to combat the feeling of loneliness. Like, hey, you know what? Misery loves company. You know what? Why don't we just start thinking about every little tiny thing that's ever happened to you now that you feel lonely? That'll make you feel better. No, actually, it doesn't. Makes me feel like crap. And so I think because we start feeling lonely, I think we try to justify the loneliness. And by justifying, I don't mean like make it right. I mean like try to understand why we're lonely. And so we're like, well, the reason I'm lonely is because I'm annoying. I annoy everybody. So obviously nobody's reaching out to me right now because I probably just really get on their nerves. I probably have just been talking a lot about myself or, well, maybe it's because I blew them off that one time because I had something to do. Or, no one just likes me enough. Like, nobody really cares about anything that I'm going through. Nobody really cares about where I'm at in life. Nobody cares. Like, they act like they care, but they don't. They say that they're there for me, but when I call and they don't answer, it feels like crap. Okay, it's not their fault. Let's just stop there. So that sounds really familiar because you've probably thought that before. You've probably been through that in your mind a couple of times. When your friend doesn't respond back to you, or then you really start worrying, like, oh my gosh, I did something wrong. I should have been a better friend to them. I'm probably like, oh my God, I'm just getting on their nerves, and that's what it is. That's why they're not responding. And, you know, you never know what's going on in that person's life and why they're not responding. Maybe they're asleep. Maybe they are busy. Maybe they're going through a bout of loneliness and they don't want to talk to anyone. You don't know. And so I think when we start feeling that initial loneliness, I think it's important to stop saying, oh, well, here's all the different possible reasons of why I'm lonely, like why I'm lonely. And then furthermore, if you are a single person by yourself, then you're like, well, I'm alone because, and that's not the same thing. Being alone and being lonely are two totally separate categories. There are many people who are perfectly happy and content with their lives being alone. Being alone is not a death sentence. It's not this horrible thing that, you know, we all want to say that's why we feel lonely is because we're alone. And it's really not. Like right now, I would like to say I'm feeling lonely because my daughter is with her dad and I have nothing to sort of like preoccupy myself with, and you know, I'm not like dating anyone, I'm not trying to, you know, make new friends right now, I'm not in my normal environment of being with people that I care about, and you know, I just all those different things, like I can say that those are reasons why I'm lonely, is because I'm alone, you know, during this time. But it's not really, because there's been many times where I've been alone and I've felt really full. Like, I've felt really satisfied being alone. Some of my best moments are whenever I'm, like, alone but satisfied. And I'm able to focus on the things that I want in my life. And, like, my relationship with the Lord and how I, my health and just everything. And so it's not about being alone. This feeling of loneliness comes at, usually it's triggered by some kind of external thing. Rejection is a big one. And I have another podcast on rejection that probably I need to redo. But anyhow, like when you're rejected, then it kind of triggers that loneliness feeling, or, you know, and I don't know that that's what happens, but you know, for me, it usually is triggered by somebody not really responding to me, or I just feel like I'm a nuisance to people. And so then I start getting in that feeling of loneliness. I can be lonely in a room full of people. That's another true statement about loneliness. You don't have to be by yourself to feel lonely. It is completely possible to be married and feel lonely, to be around your family, like at the holidays, and feel lonely, to be in a mall full of people and to feel lonely, to be out with someone, another person, and still feel lonely. And that, again, kind of backs up the idea that being alone is not the same as being lonely. So why does that happen? When we're with a room full of people, when we're, you know, when we're feeling like, when we're feeling like just an overwhelming sadness, and just, you know, we can't figure out why we feel that way. It's it can be really daunting because a lot of times there's no reason for why we feel that way. It just hits us in waves. Like loneliness just kind of comes in waves. And it can just really, a lot of times, it can just come after a rejection, after something happens that you didn't really want it to be that way. Because then I think you start to think, like, why is this happening? Like, why can't anything just go right? Like, why does everything have to be so hard? And, you know, if there's some sort of like unfulfilled thing in your heart, in some spot in your heart that has not been dealt with and has not been identified, or you haven't opened up about, I think that little soft spot can really breed grounds for loneliness. I'm not saying like everyone, nobody, this is why everybody at some point does get this feeling, because everybody has some soft spot that they haven't completely cleaned up. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's why we need Jesus, because there's all of us have problems. You know, and with this time, like with Mental Health Awareness Month, I think it's just important to kind of like hammer on this. Like, everyone has problems. Every single person has problems. There's not one person on earth who can be like, you know what, I'm completely problem-free. Like, no. Every single person has some kind of thing, some kind of baggage that they're carrying. And you can do a lot of work to get rid of your baggage. Ooh, excuse me. Get rid of your baggage. But if you don't constantly watch it, and if you don't constantly work on yourself and your mental state, then you're not, it's not, it's, you're gonna hit periods of time where you're feeling lonely. You're gonna hit periods of time where you don't know what to do. And so one thing I kind of thought about the other day, I was watching like a little on the Bible app. There's like, they do these stories, which are really great and have been really beneficial for me while I'm trying to have a routine. Like, it gives me a good place to start for like my daily Bible reading. I'm not saying I read my Bible every day. I'm trying really hard, because it is a way that I center myself. But anyhow, there was a segment about how we are there was a segment that was like, what area have you not given over to God? And I was like, you know what? My mental health. That's what I haven't given over to God. Like, I'm over here, like, trying to find self-help books and, like, which are great. Very good. Very good indeed to read. And I do read, and I promote that a lot, is reading those and journaling and having all of this kind of stuff. That's great for you. And counseling is amazing. 100% recommend if you feel like you need, oh my gosh, yawn number two, I'm sorry. If you feel like you need encouragement, counseling is great. But what I have felt about myself, I was like, I have not given my mental health over to the Lord. Like, I'm holding on to so many things and trying to fix them myself when I could give them to the Lord. Like, this feeling of loneliness, one thing I'm gonna do when I'm done recording, I'm gonna pray and read the scriptures and try to find some solace and some peace and like some kind of guidance on this issue, because the living truth, the Bible, the word is gonna be where I find that. And you know, it's kind of like our handbook. You know, it's literally got everything in it. And so giving that, those feelings, like our mental health, and praying about it and confiding in our community about it is a great way to feel supported in that. And it's a great way to fight stigma. If we all show up and start talking about how we are messed up, it's like, you know, yeah, misery loves company. But more so, it's like, oh, well, let's huddle around you and raise you up and give you some support. And I think a lot of people are afraid that they're going to get rejected. But what I think you find is that, no. In fact, everybody feels validated when someone shares a shortcoming. When someone, well, I don't want to say it is not a shortcoming to feel, to have any kind of mental health issue, concern, whatever. If you're dealing with depression, it's not a shortcoming at all. It's a natural thing that everyone goes through. And so I think knowing that and then sharing that with someone, especially in a like mind, you know, someone who, a group who loves you and loves the Lord, then that's going to be your best, like, a good line of defense for you, for sure. And so, some things I wrote down about loneliness, which thank God I have this list, because it's late and I'm getting off track, is like, here are some things. This is what I feel like when I'm lonely. And maybe you can relate, maybe you can't. I don't know. Maybe you have more to add to the list. But for me, loneliness, sometimes it feels like no one likes you. And this is a big one for me. I get to feeling like nobody likes me. No one likes me. I'm annoying. That's why no one's talking to me. That's why everybody's ignoring me. That's why so-and-so isn't responding to my text. Yeah, they don't like me. A second one, nobody cares. Wow, nobody cares. And if you're, so when people get to the stage where the loneliness has literally devoured them and they start feeling like no one likes them and nobody cares, this is a dangerous place to be. And I hope that before you ever get to that point, or if you are in that point where you are feeling like no one likes you and nobody cares, please reach out to me, reach out to somebody. You're really important and somebody cares. At this moment, it might feel like no one is caring, but I promise you, there are so many people that care. And there are so many people that love you. And sometimes people don't know that you're feeling that way. And I would actually say that almost all the time, people don't know that you're feeling that way. It's really important. Please, please reach out to someone. You did something to drive everyone away. It's your fault, obviously. When you feel lonely, guess what? It's your fault you did something. You talked too much. You didn't ask them enough about themselves. You weren't pretty enough for them. You didn't act a certain way. You didn't talk about certain things. You just weren't cool enough for them. You didn't drive the right kind of car. No, now I'm being stupid. But no, really, like all of these things, like we start to think, I did something. I'm driving them away by some part of me. And then you are wrong in some way. Something you did. It's that blame factor. This is what I feel. You might have a totally different list of things that, like, this is what your loneliness feels like. But for me, this is my list. This is kind of what I think. And then the last one, and this hit home for me earlier. I wrote this down and I was like, dude, what? So we think it's going to last forever. Like, we're going to dwell in this sort of valley, if you will, forever. That, like, this cloud, this rain cloud is going to follow us around for the rest of our life. It's going to rain on us all the time. And I promise you, friend, if you feel that way, it will feel like that. If you think that way, if you say, ugh, this is just life, this is how it's going to be, then I promise that's exactly what's going to happen. This idea of loneliness, as I said earlier, it's a mindset. It is a, like, a thought. Oops, my bad. It's a thought. It's a feeling. Are you angry when you're angry all the time? Are you sad when you're sad all the time? If you tell yourself to be, if you tell yourself you're going to be sad, if you tell yourself you're going to be mad, if you tell yourself you're going to be lonely forever, it's going to feel a lot longer than it should. It's going to go on a lot longer than it should. It's a feeling, and that's not necessarily the truth. And I've said it before, and I've saw it somewhere, but truth over emotions, truth over feelings. The truth. Let's look at the truth. And if we're talking about truth in a biblical sense, I have a scripture to share. And it's out of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 3. And this is what it says. So Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 3. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. So that, right there, this part where it says, where God asks, Son of man, can these bones live? Right there, the Lord is it's a rhetorical question. It's not one that even needs to be answered, because the answer is, so did I say a rhetorical answer? It's a rhetorical question that doesn't require an answer, because we know just from that, from reading that right there, yeah, those bones could live. Those bones could live if that's what the plan is. There is a reason there are valleys in our life. There's a reason why sometimes things feel down, and I would like to say that, you know, it's a preparation period. It's a waiting period. And, you know, maybe right now you're crossing that valley. You're feeling sad, loneliness, solitude, being alone. I mean, dry, like in this passage here. A lot of dry bones, you know, and you're probably thinking, dang, this is it. This is going to last forever. There's nothing for me here. I am all alone. I am destitute. It's not going to last forever. It is a season. It is a valley. It's a small picture in the greater scheme of things that the Lord has for you. And that, I think, is where we can find some hope. I like, on a certain, okay, so everyone knows, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that I have gone through a divorce, have made some poor choices in the dating world, because I'm not ready to date, really. I mean, I'm okay with getting my feet wet and getting back out there and just trying to, I never dated before, really, before I got married, and so trying to get my feet wet and understand how to date and what I'm looking for in people, because yes, I do ultimately would like to find somebody that I'm meant to be with, and I believe that God has somebody, is preparing someone for me. And so I talk a lot about like how I need to be preparing myself for that person. And so this time of waiting, this period of like loneliness, like feeling down, and this is a lot of times I feel like the Lord does things so that we'll call out to him, reach out to him. And then there's always some kind of like epiphany that comes. And so for me, I don't look at like these times. Well, I say I don't. I like to not. Sometimes I do. But I don't look at them as times of gloom and doom. I try to take that and turn it into like, okay, what is this teaching me? What am I learning during this time? Like, what sadness is in me that I need to bring to God? And you know, that's part of it, is that I need to prepare my heart. You know, as it says in the scripture, Lord, you know. He knows what's on the other side of the valley, what's on the other side of that mountain that you're climbing. He knows what's there. He knows how to get you to the place that you need to be, but he needs you to come to him. He needs you. He doesn't need you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to cry out to him in this time when you do feel this sadness, because everyone's going to have it. Everybody. It's just like a product of the world. We feel sad because there's a lot of things to be sad about. Like, you turn on the news right now and there's just so much in humanity that is completely wrong, and we don't know what we're doing. But there's a lot of hope when we turn to the Lord. And there's a lot of strength that can be found there. And this, I'm speaking strictly from experience. I don't have like a degree in this. I don't have, you know, like, I haven't studied immensely the Bible. I mean, I have studied the Bible quite a bit in my life, but I don't have like a master of divinity or whatever, you know, like, no, I'm just a person who's experienced the strength of God, the grace of the Lord, and also the kindness that he's given me in times where I did feel super lonely, where I just felt like I could not go on anymore. Growing up was really hard for me, and I didn't have a lot of like a large support system. And I didn't know how to fight this kind of battle in my mind. I did not know how to push away the darkness like I do now. I'm a lot better prepared. And so I have a wonderful family. I don't want to like make that sound like I don't have a great family. I have a great family, but they just weren't physically there. Like, they weren't near, you know, like they were there. Like, I could have called them. Granted, I didn't have a cell phone because I was like, I don't know, 14 at the time. 14-year-olds didn't have phones. But now, you know, 4-year-olds have phones. It's like, okay, how did I survive? I don't know. Anyway, but I had friends, but again, 14, my friends, I didn't, you know, they couldn't always be there. And it just, like, I didn't really know the Lord. I really didn't know him. I didn't know how to know him. I didn't like understand that. I'd gone to church camp a few times, and you know, I probably had gone to church a little bit, you know, vacation Bible school, that sort of thing growing up, but I never really had a solid foundation and an understanding of who Jesus was until probably like a year and a half ago, if I'm being really honest. I studied the Bible, and I went to church camps in college. I did youth ministry teams, and I did all these things that, you know, you would think somebody would know how to, you know, would be like an expert, maybe not an expert, but be very knowledgeable about who Jesus was. But I just wasn't. I wasn't until I had something happen to me that, you know, my divorce, until that whole thing started to fall apart, I did not know who Jesus was. And I did not understand. I knew him. I did not understand who he was in complete knowledge. Like, I never felt that because I didn't know how to come to him until I was just completely shattered into pieces. And that's the only way I knew how to come to him. And so I'm saying all of this, I'm telling you all of this backstory because, you know, I went I went through so many periods of sadness and feeling lost. I went through so many periods of feeling lost, and I just felt lost until my life broke to pieces and I had to come to Jesus. And that is when I truly felt found. It's when I truly felt like my sadness was made small. Like, oh, you know what? Sadness is not, cannot be present when the, like, the glory of Jesus is in front of me. And I am so for, and I just got goosebumps saying that because I just think, like, wow, I think back to that when it just was like, it was so real. It was just, it was so immensely real. And so I'm grateful that I had to go through that, because of that, now I know Jesus. Like, I know what trusting in Jesus does. I felt that peace and that, like, that understanding, because I truly knew what it was like to come to him. So that's the hope that I can have from this. I spent a lifetime of feeling lonely and not understanding my sadness and not being connected to the Lord until I hit a period of loneliness and couldn't do it by myself anymore and just had to break down in front of God. And at that time, it was just like Jesus picked me up out of that and dusted me off, gave me a hug, and kind of like set me back out on the road with, like, you know, with all the materials I needed to get going. And every so often I break down again and come back to him. And that's not me saying, like, oh, I only come to Jesus whenever I'm feeling upset. No, like, I study the word and I know how now because of a period of time like this. And so, or I felt sad. And so I'm just urging you that if you do feel like this, if you've had these moments of just like, oh my gosh, like, I am so sad. Go to Jesus. Go and know that this valley, this, like, solitude or this misery that you're going through, it does not last forever. There's a reason. There's preparation going on. There's something greater than just that feeling of loneliness, because it's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. It is not the truth. You are not alone. You did not do anything to make people dislike you. You don't deserve this feeling. This isn't like you earned to, well, I should be lonely now. I should feel sad now. No, you didn't do anything. That's a feeling. No. Nobody dislikes you. And if they do, that's not your problem. That's their own problem. You didn't do anything to make them dislike you. Being your authentic self, if you're being your authentic self and you're being kind, you didn't do anything to make them dislike you. If you talk a lot, you're not annoying. You're full of life. If you are funny, you're not stupid. You make people laugh. You bring joy to people. If you're very smart, you're not a know-it-all. You are knowledgeable. You have things to offer. So all these thoughts, all these feelings of like, I did something to do or earn this. I did this. It's not true. It's a feeling. It's not the truth. The truth is this. The truth is this. Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. This feeling of dry bones, this feeling of this of a valley that you're in, does not last forever. The truth is that God knows what's happening. There's hope on the other side of that valley. And we only see a small little snippet of the picture because we're human. We only see what our eyes and what our heart can see. But God is on the other side. He's looking at the rest of the picture. Like, he's seeing the entire thing. He's watching the movie, and all we've got is the trailer so far. He directed the movie. He knows exactly what's happening in that movie. And he wants to tell us, but there's a lot of preparation that has to go on first for us to understand. And so, it's a feeling, it's not a truth. And I hope I didn't get too off track with this. I really wanted this to, like, kind of hit home that, like, this, you know, for, there is hope even when you're feeling this way. Just because you're by yourself doesn't mean you have to feel lonely. It can be a great and wonderful thing to be alone, because that's when you have time to truly find your authentic self. And, like, I know for me, when I'm surrounded by people, I tend to just, like, and all the time, I'm not saying, like, oh, you're around someone again, like, no, obviously you're going to be around people at some point, but, you know, like, I tend to forget about myself and start focusing on other people and what they want again. That's what I tend to do. And making sure that everybody else is happy. And then over time, as I still haven't spent enough time alone and, like, and studying the word and praying and all of these things, then I've just been surrounded by people. The problem is that I tend to forget, oh crap, I forgot to be my authentic self. I've been just so worried about what everybody else needs from me that I haven't focused on my own need, and I haven't focused on what my relationship with the Lord needs to look like. And that's something that, like, that's a thing you can kind of lean into whenever you're alone, when you're sitting by yourself a lot, you know, like, who am I? This is a great time. It's a good reflective period. And again, if you're feeling just like too sad, too alone, and like no one cares, please reach out to somebody. Do not let that feeling keep going to where it's, you don't want to live life anymore. Because I do know that it can get there, and you can feel that way. And there are people who will raise you up and who will bring you into a hug and just show you that they love you. There are people. So, anyhow, I am, I hope this is helpful. The scripture, I want to share it one more time, just because that scripture I really loved, and I thought that was, like, spot on for me. You know, we all go through the valleys, and, I just really love that. So, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 3. That's the scripture that I referenced. I actually am not... Oh, wait. I do have a book to reference. One book that I really like that I have read little pieces of, and every time I get kind of lonely, I just open it up in my Kindle, and I read from Uninvited. And if you don't know about Uninvited, it is a great book to basically, like, help you deal with feeling like no one cares. And hold on, sorry guys, I'm pulling it up right now so I can kind of give those of you who don't know what it is, like, a little more input about it. So, one thing, and it's by Lisa Turkhurst. I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but I love her. And she also wrote another book called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way, which is actually one of my favorite books. And I'll do, like, on other podcasts, kind of talking about it next time, maybe? I don't know. It's a good book. I think it's really beneficial. This one's called Living Loved When You Feel Less Than, Left Out, and Lonely. And I know the backstory behind when she was writing this book, because I'm reading her other one. It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. And this book, in that context, like, really makes me, like, understand why we feel lonely. And so Uninvited is such a good read. If you haven't read it, like, I really urge you to get into it. It's like a handbook for, like, what to do when we're feeling like this in a biblical sense. And so, yeah. Anyhow, I don't want to drag this on any longer. I hope that this was beneficial for you. You know, please, like, let me know what your thoughts are. You can send me comment, or I guess a DM on my Instagram. It's pretty much the only place that I share this kind of stuff. And just let me know what you're thinking about it, because I'd really like feedback, and I'd really like to know what you're feeling, like, what your thoughts are, and if this is helpful. I've gotten a lot of really sweet comments, and even someone in person kind of was like, oh my gosh, wait, what'd you say your name was? And I like, they had read my podcast. I keep saying read, like it's a book. It's like something you've listened to. Anyway, they had listened to my podcast, and I don't do this for any other reason. I literally did not start this podcast to be like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have so many listeners. Like, no, if only 5 people listen, I'm totally fine with that. I just want it to be something. It's a really good outlet for me, but it's also like, I hope that those 5 people are like encouraged in some way by listening to me just share my story and stories that I've heard, and then finding things in the Bible that just kind of like, you know, help that, whatever it is, whatever that feeling is, or whatever that kind of place is that we're at in our life. And so anyhow, I hope this has been beneficial. I love you guys, and thank you so much for listening. And I am going to be trying to come up with weekly topics. Okay, it's a goal. It's a new goal for me for June, the month of June. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Coming in strong. All right, it's going on my goal list. Okay. All right. Anyway, have a great day, and I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.